everybody, and welcome back to Nobody, No Problem. I'm Kristen.
I'm Katie.
And it has been so long.
It's been 84 years.
It's been 84 years. Yeah, so sorry for the, you know,
break. Long pause.
Yeah, long pause, we'll say that. It's been, you know,
there's growth. There's a pandemic going on.
Yeah, there's a pandemic. Lots of working from home, lots of changes. Personally, to both of us, so it's been a little bit, but we finally have made the time to come back. So today, Katie's up. She will be telling a story of moida and mayhem of some sort. I don't know yet.
Mm-hmm. Probably rape.
In there. Probably a little rape. Whatever. So
gotta make it fun.
Yeah, and we're just, you know, happy that we're back.
Mm-hmm.
We are back. So obviously, we hope you're all doing well, and we know that it has been a hard, like almost a year. What are we at, 10 months now?
Yeah.
Of weird, just weird. So what I decided to do was insert some positivity into the beginning, because we really talk about depressing stuff. I like it, obviously.
But it's kind of fucked up.
It is, you know. It doesn't always make you feel good. So I am going to try and do a snippet of positive news in the beginning, just to get you like on a good, you know, and then obviously.
And then we'll bring it back down.
And then we'll bring it back up with the dad joke.
Yep.
So we're trying to be as positive. We're just trying to keep you.
All about balance here.
Right. We're just trying to keep you on the antidepressants. Just, you know.
Sure.
Ups and downs.
Antidepressants, alcohol, whatever works for you. Honestly. We're here for you.
We are here for you.
So is 7-Eleven. Sorry, that's where I stopped for White Claws.
Tis that we are currently drinking. My positive news today, which if anybody knows me, they know that I have been going through a David Attenborough Planet Earth phase.
Because
he is literally my hero. Love him so much. So I have been kind of into animals and saving the planet, which everybody should be into always. I don't know why it's a thing that I just decided to get into, because we kind of need the planet to be alive.
Nah.
Nah.
Questionable.
So what I found out today was that jaguars were returned to Argentina's Ibera wetlands for the first time in more than 70 years. The big cats were driven out of the swampy region in northeast Argentina by hunters. So they returned, the conservationists returned them to their proper place since these wetlands are now protected. So they released a mom and her baby cubs. So, you know, good for them. Good on Argentina. Good for you guys. Screw
claps
hunters, you know?
Around.
Right, claps
we
all around.
We don't like hunters. We don't like poachers.
But we do love baby jaguars because they're the cutest. Maybe not mamas because they'll eat your face.
That's unfair. Because I will eat venison if it's provided to me. But
right. Not vegan, but still love big cats. All around good news.
Yes.
Love hearing good stuff where animals
like
are being able to.
Cats too.
Right. All cats, all animals. Dogs, cats, wherever. Mm-hmm. I'm really just
I don't
a,
like them all.
Well, sharks.
No, chihuahuas.
Hey, Lobo's a saint. To me, anyway. Well, and to you. My parents have an animal rescue. They have lots of angry chihuahuas.
They're so angry.
Except for me.
Why?
They love me, because obviously.
Small.
Yeah. They've got Napoleon complex.
They really do.
Mm-hmm. Ankle
They're
biters,
terrifying.
If you will. But yeah, that was a little bit of positive news.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah, because, you know, in a world of bad stuff, it's always good to hear a little positivity, nature, forward, good stuff. Because we
Absolutely.
Suck. And they just live, you know, they're
just
trying
to live
their lives.
Hey!
Jinx! You owe me a Coke.
Okay.
All right, so Katie is telling the story today. Do you have anything else to add? Anything else? Ooh, I do have something to tell you. That I was going
to
tell you at the table, but I didn't.
And
so I watched.
Asked you if you had anything to add.
Yes. So I watched something today that I stumbled upon because of my husband, called The Murder of White House Farm. And it's a British, it's on HBO, and it's a British show based on an actual murder that was cray cray. It was a family annihilation.
What's it called?
The Murder at White House Farm.
Watching it tonight.
It's 6 episodes, so it's long, so you'll have to be up all night, but it's so good. I don't know how like accurate it is, but it's entertaining as F because it's HBO. But
heck yeah.
Totally recommend it. I got sucked in right away. Really, really good. So that was my other tidbit of good.
Now, I don't know if you've ever heard, I just watched a show the other day. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. I finally got into it. It's called Game of Thrones.
Can't say that I have.
I finally watched it for the first time ever. I watched it in 3 weeks.
Yeah. And we had... I have watched it from the beginning, season by season, and have been a fan forever, and she had just watched it. So we went out to dinner on Friday, and I think we talked 99% about Game of Thrones.
Not mad about it.
Not mad about it at all. But yeah, if you haven't seen it yet, do yourself a favor. I have nothing else to add other than I'm so happy to be here. And yeah. I'm really pumped to hear this murder. So, Kate,
you too.
Take it away.
All right. So, I will be telling Melissa Ann McLaughlin's story. It's not a huge story. It was publicized in the area at the time, but I don't think it was nationwide, and there's not a huge amount of background information. We're going to make it short and sweet.
Okay.
For our first story back. So, she was born on September 4th, 1967, in Michigan, to parents Claire and Patricia McLaughlin.
Cool.
And her nickname is Missy. Now, at the time of the event, she is 25 years old, living in North Charleston, South Carolina, with her fiancé and his family. So it's December 30th, 1992, and her fiancé are out partying. They get into a fight, and she leaves the bar. She storms out. She's mad about something. Couldn't figure out what. The police found her walking alongside the road. They take her home because it's kind of like a small area.
Oh, I think I've heard this. Ooh.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's surprising.
Yeah.
Okay. So they bring her back to where she lives, and she's drunk. So she's like, nope, I'm not done partying yet. And she leaves again.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
She is picked up by three men, Joseph Gardner, Matthew Carl Mack, and Matthew Williams.
I have heard this before.
Okay.
How in the world?
It's kind of messed up. It's not like a huge thing, but it's... So, she gets into their van. Now, there's been... I've read different things. I've read that she was told that she would get drugs if she went with them, so she went willingly, and then her family firmly believes that she would have never gotten into that van. I don't know. I wasn't there.
Right.
So anyway, they take her back to the mobile home where mm-hmm. some of them live, and they kind of have their way with her.
Oh boy.
And word gets out to other people that reside in the trailer park mm-hmm. that she's there, and more people come and rape her and sodomize her, etc.
Great.
Very not good.
Great stuff there.
The number that I read was three other men came.
Why? Is it just like a weird thing that like if one, like a mob mentality, if like one guy's like, let's rape, everyone's like, good idea, and no one's like, maybe we shouldn't do this?
I don't know.
This is gross.
I don't have a penis. I don't like to rape people, so I can't.
Yeah, touche, my friend.
There were also two women that were present who were girlfriends of, obviously, two of the men that were there, that were, like I said, they were present, they were there for it, they did nothing to stop it.
Gross.
Whatever.
You're terrible people.
So, after they're done...
Raping her.
Raping her and sodomizing her, they want to get rid of the evidence, so they make her bathe in bleach and hydrogen peroxide, rubbing herself with, like, a nylon brush. Also, they make herself clean out her vagina with the same products.
Nah.
So they handcuff her and put her in the car because they're like, all right, we got to get rid of this chick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they put her on the floor of the back seat of the car. During their drive, which it wasn't stated where they were going, they were just driving, she struggles and gets out of the handcuffs.
Good for her.
So 22-year-old Gardner, who was in the front passenger seat, reaches around the seat and shoots her twice in the face.
That's definitely something that where that should go.
Right.
Not just like, you know what, let her out of the car.
Well, they did pull over to shoot her three more times in the face.
Mm.
And once in the arm.
Great. Oh, they forgot the arm, guys. They had to reel back and get the arm.
I think he just missed his shot. But
yes.
5 or 6 is not bad.
Yeah. Especially when she's in the back seat.
Both.
You would think you'd hit all seven. I'm just saying. Six? Both.
Part of them were outside the car when they pulled over.
Oh.
So they left her on the side of the road.
Oh, yay.
14 miles out of Charleston. They leave her there and continue to party and whatnot for the evening.
Oh, good.
She is found alive by someone driving by, but she dies before the ambulance gets there.
Wait, so she got shot six times in the face and was alive?
For a time, yes. Which I would not wish that upon anybody.
Dude, it's funny because I do know this story, but it's been a long time since I've heard it, but it's very bad. So you kind of remember the ones that are that bad. How in the world do you survive that?
So, obviously, they called the police. Mm-hmm. She dies before the ambulance gets there. It took 4 days for the police to identify her body. Because the bottom half of her face was just gone.
Destroyed, yeah. And I'm sure she didn't have, if it was all in the bottom half of her face, she didn't have teeth.
No.
Yeah.
Probably not. I don't know for sure, but I'm guessing.
We're going to go with she didn't have teeth. Normally when you shoot someone in the jaw enough that she didn't really have a bottom half of her face, you don't really have teeth anymore. Dental records, if people don't know why I brought that up.
Right. So the fifth day, they found the trailer of where the actions had occurred, which allowed them to find the people involved. So by January 9th, 1993, the police had arrested 7 people, including Matthew Mack and Matthew Williams,
good,
2 of the 3 that had picked her up, and Edna Williams and Indira Simmons, the 2 girlfriends that were there in the trailer park, or in the mobile home.
Wait, who was it? Indira and who?
Edna. The 2 girlfriends that were there but did nothing about it.
Correct.
So 3 of the rapists were in the Navy and stationed in Charleston.
Oh, great.
So, great.
Good stuff.
The trigger man, Joseph Gardner, was also in the Navy. And after that, he went AWOL and was missing for 2 years. Because, yeah, you shot a woman in the face.
Well, you killed, raped, and then brutally assaulted with peroxide and bleach, and then kidnapped,
yep,
and then shot her 7 times, hitting her 6 in the face and 1 in the arm.
Yep.
Good for you.
I mean, I would definitely hide.
I would go AWOL as well.
So, this is where the FBI ended up putting him on the 10 most wanted list.
Yep.
So, he was actually spotted in Philadelphia at a post office, and someone saw him and tipped the police off.
Can I say something?
And
You were, like, so you're in North Carolina, right? You're in the USA. Why would you stay in the USA? Wouldn't you, like, go to England or Mexico?
I will say, I don't know, because he was AWOL from the Navy. Can he travel outside of the United States? Would they flag him?
Well, you could have definitely left before he went AWOL.
You could have taken a rowboat.
Well, you know, but like, you know it's coming. So you probably have, I don't know, took 7 days?
They didn't have the technology that we have right now. So it was definitely a different time in being able to get away with things.
For sure.
Had he not been on the FBI's 10 most wanted, I don't think anyone would have recognized him out of state. So, his chances, I think, were better than you
think. If he stayed in, like, a small town in the USA.
Right.
I guess.
He left the state.
Because it is the 90s. Yeah, I get what you mean. Because I, like, if I was ever involved in this, I would have been, like, someplace that does not have extradition laws with the United States, here I fucking come.
Right. But like I said, different time.
Yeah, different time. Different time. Gotcha.
And he might not have had a rowboat. So anyway, October 20th, 1994, he was finally arrested. Almost 2 years after.
God, you are eight. So he hasn't been linked to any other murders or anything like that?
No.
I will
touch on their motivating factors.
Yeah.
In a bit.
Okay.
Actually, I'm about to do that right now.
Oh, sorry. I jumped the gun. I do that a lot. Sorry.
His
thoughts.
As the details of the case emerged, it caused a ton of racial tension. So the year before this action took place was the Rodney King event.
Oh, boy.
And these are African-American men who I read in one of the on one of the websites that they had seen it air. There was a broadcasting about the Rodney King event, and it got them all hot and bothered, which obviously so. And they were talking about, it was told that they were talking about getting revenge for 400 years of oppression, and that they really just wanted to kill a white bitch, basically is what I read. It was quoted. Not good things, but that was, it seemed to be the motivating factor.
Yeah, because you know what I mean. It's just like more death and destruction always is the way to solve problems. In a general,
if that was the case, we wouldn't have a podcast. Just kidding.
Well, you're not wrong, but yeah.
We wouldn't have a hobby.
As a general rule of thumb, let's just not rape, murder, or kill
anybody.
We're not encouraging it to any race, creed, or religion. You just do you as long as you're not slaughtering babies. I'm cool.
Sure. So, yeah, this did raise a lot of racial tensions.
Sure, sure.
I think there were a lot of people trying to instigate on both sides.
Of course.
You know, mostly the extremists, because obviously no normal person wants anyone to be killed just because of whatever.
100%. We're all just trying to get our little slice of the pie.
Peace was kept. Missy's family was like, no, we're not trying to do any kind of racial slandering. We just want justice for our daughter.
Of course.
So, like, good things in
good for them. They sound like decent people.
Sure. So, basically, like I said, this is a pretty short one. So, we skip ahead to the trial. There were actually two trials. One was for the Mac guy, who was one of the three that had abducted her. And then one was for Gardner, the trigger man, who they found 2 years later. Everyone else had plea deals for the roles that they took place in.
Oh, my God.
They didn't really... I couldn't find so much information on Mac's trial. He wasn't really the one that they put in the hot seat because he wasn't the shooter. So mostly the focus is on Gardner. His trial happened in 1995, and it turned out with a guilty plea. Or not a guilty plea.
A verdict.
Verdict. That's what I'm looking for. It's been a while.
He's actually went to trial. That's crazy.
He went to trial. Yeah.
Why?
And then he appealed. he had a few problems with the first trial. He wanted a change of venue because, like I said in the beginning, it had quite a bit of publicity in the area. That was denied.
Good.
His attorneys were arguing that letting a close-up picture of Missy's face should not have been admissible in court, which was also denied because, fuck you, she got shot in the face 6 times.
Yeah.
Yes, you're going to make people
I would say that it probably should have been, like, not done in just reality. So yeah. No one had to look at her face half shot off in a courtroom.
Like, someone did that. That's why
that
we're all here. Look at
seriously, look at what they did.
That was denied as well.
They did that, no one else.
And then they were also questioning the cross-examination of two witnesses. That was also denied, and so the sentence was affirmed. And he was given the death sentence.
Penalty, but yes.
Penalty, yes.
It's been a while, like you
it
said.
It's been so long.
The death sentence.
Let me get back.
The death sentence.
Sentence you to death, sir. So December 5th, 2008, he was 38 years old at that time. He was put down. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
He was put to death by legal injection. And I will say, I haven't done this in a while. Give me a break.
He was put to death by legal injection, which means his lawyers just talked him to death.
I will say that he sincerely, I mean, from what I read, it sounded like he was sincerely sorry by the time he was getting his death sentence actually put into place.
You know, I find it hard to believe people who do things like that.
No, because he looked at the parents and said, I'm really sorry. You know, I know you won't forgive me, but I've thought about it so much. I know I hurt you. I know I hurt her, and I'm sorry.
You know
Dude,
what?
That's a lot of time. 16 years is a lot of time to grow up. 22, you're not a grown up yet. I mean, technically, yes, you're an adult, but you're not at a mature level to recognize that what you do, like the long term effects.
Wait, wasn't that's? I know men mature later than we do.
I think around 50.
I'm gonna go with 75, but. Just kidding. We love all people. But
I'm just saying.
I mean, you're old enough at that point. You're in the Navy.
He also knew that he was dying at that point. If he didn't want to apologize, he didn't have to do shit.
I just can't. I understand that there was probably drugs involved and people were drinking and drunk. And
yes,
obviously your decisions are skewed. But, like, have you ever been so drunk? You're to a point where you're like, you know what I'm going to do tonight? I'm going to kidnap this white bitch, rape her, make her bathe in bleach and hydrogen peroxide, and then shoot her 7 times in the face.
Six.
Oh, once in the arm. You right.
I know.
Like, I've never been. I just don't understand where your mindset is. Obviously, we are two white people who can't possibly understand the anger. But at the same time, like, I don't think I would ever wish that type of hurt and pain and anything on anybody ever in my life.
No. I'm not saying that anyone would. I mean, it was fucked up. It was bad. It shouldn't have happened.
I just can never, where you're just like, oops, sorry. Like, you're like, you took this girl's life.
No.
Everything from her. And her fiance and her family. You know what I mean?
I'm not disagreeing with you.
I just don't appreciate it.
I'm just telling a story.
No, I know. But, like, I hate it when it's, like, I think
Listen,
he was genuinely sorry.
Think...
He fucking should be.
Well, and he was. So, win-win.
I mean, I guess.
All right. So, he dies.
I think it's a win-win-lose because Missy's still fucking dead.
Hell, yeah. That's a loss. He was the 40th inmate to be put to death in South Carolina since the death penalty was reinstated in 1976.
Good to know.
So, the other people, Matthew Carl Mack, obviously convicted, sentenced to life in prison, eligible for parole after 30 years. My gut is telling me I read that he did not get that.
I'm going to go with he probably isn't going to. It's a
pretty
heinous crime.
I could be wrong.
It's pretty heinous
crime.
There
really wasn't much information.
Yeah.
Matthew Paul Williams, convicted, sentenced to life in prison, same thing. Eligible for parole after 30 years. Not sure if he got it. There just wasn't a lot of follow-up with this story. Danny Dwayne
really
McCall,
is.
He was convicted, sentenced to 6 years in prison. Roger Williams, convicted, sentenced to 5 years in prison. Now, the two women that were present, Edna and Indira, obviously, they got charged because they were there and did nothing. Edna was convicted and sentenced to 7 years. She served 554 days. And Indira was convicted, also sentenced to 7 years. She served 572 days. Some of those days were in jail, and the remainder of them were under house arrest. And then she ended up getting pardoned in 2010.
Depending on the walls and jurors.
That's kind of the end of the story, but... There is a little, I would say fun fact, but it's not fun.
It's not.
So I named it Twisted Fact.
Good.
When the McLaughlins lived in Michigan, in their hometown, an 11-year-old girl was raped and murdered, and her body was left alongside the road. Missy's parents helped to start a neighborhood watch program. They would give presentations around town and use slides and use Missy and her friends to show behaviors of what not to do to avoid being into this situation.
Oh, man.
15 years later, what they were trying to avoid happened to other people is exactly what happened to their daughter.
Yeah, that's
Isn't
really
Isn't that crazy?
Well, they sound like really good people. It's just
they
sad.
They live in Florida now. I hope they're enjoying the rest of their lives.
I'm sure they're
fucked up.
Yeah, I'm sure they're trying to anyway. I don't really know how you recover from something like that.
That's bad. I'm gonna quote my sources real quick. Cite my sources. Jesus. Murderpedia, findagrave.com, Charleston Post and Courier, State versus Gardner, the direct appeal, and prodeathpenalty.com. give me a good amount of information.
Well, so, in certain situations, I'm on both fences, so I don't know.
So that was a quick little horrific story.
Really horrific story.
If you want to listen to that, so you can go to sleep at night peacefully.
Yeah, that's what we do. Bedtime stories. That was sad. Really, it should be in the dark. That was sad and horrible, and...
Yeah, it was, I mean, it was messed up.
That's a horrific, that is like a horrific story. I could never imagine after, after like everything you go through. I just am interested in how they got her in the car, more or less.
I couldn't find anything about it. That's what I'm saying, like.
I mean, it seems like she had
a story, and I wanted to tell it because it wasn't one that I had heard before, and I thought just a quick little thing to get off our first day, like, let's get back in the groove.
Yeah, let's get back in the groove.
And finding information was very difficult. There was not much out there, so I don't know.
I mean, deep diving, finding stuff about murders isn't as easy as you think, because not everybody wants to hear. Right? Oh no, and everyone wants to hear about, like, you know, John Wayne Gacy and all that stuff. But but we also want to, you know, bring to light or talk about things so, you know, people can. Warning signs is one of my biggest things.
Yeah, warning signs. Like, if you're so drunk that the police drop you off at home, don't leave to go back out.
Don't leave to go back out.
Don't do it. You should probably just eat a pizza.
I mean, it seems like she went. I mean, I would have to say she would have gone with them willingly because you...
If you're that messed up,
and
can you really consent to anything?
I don't think you can at one point. I mean, male or female, at that point, you're... You're not in a good place.
You're
like
in
she
another
said.
State of mind.
Yeah. Make a pizza and go to sleep, but maybe not pizza, a sandwich, because you'll burn down your apartment.
No.
Because you'll fall asleep. Lots of college memories flashing back to waking up to just one burnt giant disc and praying and being happy that I didn't set my house on fire.
Sure. Mm-hmm. All right. Eat a sandwich. I don't know. Do whatever makes you
just
happy.
Just don't leave or get in a stranger's car.
Anyway, so that's the story.
That was good. I mean, not good. It was sad.
Well,
it was definitely sad. It happened, and it's on the,
But, talk about balance. I got something to bring you up. I got a joke.
Oh, yay! I love dad jokes.
Yes. Are you ready for it?
She was very excited about this, I have to say.
I'm so excited.
So, I feel like I needed to prepare myself, so I'm ready. Ready. I'm good to go.
What's a quiet Hawaiian laugh?
I have no idea. Got nothing.
Aloha.
Oh, dude! I was going to say aloha, too. But I wasn't going to say it like that just because, you know, aloha. I get
aloha.
It.
Aloha. Just a ha.
Oh, man. That was a good one. I get why you were excited about it. I'm super, yeah, I really appreciated that one, too. That was, today I started singing Moana while my husband was playing video games next to me.
Who
doesn't? Like, what are you doing? Was I singing Moana or was I speaking? Oh, no, I was speaking Moana. I kept singing, I am Awanda Matanui. You will board my boat, sail across the sea, and restore the hearts of Tahiti. So it's funny that you made a Hawaiian joke. God bless. That was good. It was good. And we're so happy to be back.
Yeah.
And we should be posting once a week yet again for the foreseeable future. But again, there are things that have changed personally wise for the both of us. So it has been a little bit more complicated to do so. But we've got yelled at a lot.
Yes. The goal is weekly, though.
The goal is weekly, though.
Hey,
so,
CJ.
Hi, husband.
What's up, team?
So, we are hoping that we will get back to the groove of things, but I will definitely be ready to go next week. Katie will be here, and then we will just go from there. But we hope that you guys enjoy the story and the dad joke and the also positive news, and we'll try to work on that. And also the squeaky chair that I got rid of.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, I mean, anything else? What else do I always say? Like, subscribe, review. We're on Pocket Casts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Anchor. tons of places. Just listen to us because we're great and she's great and it was a great story, but sad. But also RIP Missy and, you know, all of that.
For sure.
Anything else that you would like to add, my dear?
No.
Nothing groundbreaking?
No. I got nothing.
All right, my friends. We hope you enjoyed the episode back after about a year of silence from us. If you don't, I mean, that's cool, too.
Whatever.
Whatever.
We'll float your boat, but we're back, so.
We back. So, I'm Grissom.
And I'm Katie.
And we are nobody, no problem.
Bye.
Bye.